Welcome back.
Thank
Spring
you.
Training.
Yeah.
Healthy. Velo's there. We saw you pitch the other day in Scottsdale. Maybe the command wasn't quite what you wanted, but it was your first one. So as things ramp up, and we'll see multiple up-downs here soon, we'll see longer outings, what are the goals and the steps to make sure everything's moving properly?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just kind of goes into the timing of how the body's moving down the mound. A lot of what spring training is I guess first you kind of establish your foundation in the off season. If you come in here searching for a foundation, I think you're kind of probably behind on things. But you kind of work all off season to establish that foundation of strength, endurance, and all that. And then you get here and you kind of fine tune. For me, it's the timing and kind of where my body's at moving down the mound. So Jim and Hookie are kind of all-knowing of how my body moves, just working with them the last, I think it's seven, it might be six, but I've been working with Jim and Hookie a long time, so they kind of see things that I'm not able to see, that's kind of what spring training is just establishing that timing of where you're at.
In your eyes, how important was this past off season for you to be in a position ready to go like you are now, given we saw the scar tissue finally break for you last year, we saw the velo come back, we saw a different role for you, and now you're auditioning as a starter once again?
I think just to be able to go into this last off season healthy and feeling correct was just a major win. It's kind of the first offseason that I've had that's been normal since, honestly, like the end of the 21 season. 22, we kind of ended the season a little banged up and then obviously got hurt in the offseason there. So it was just a breath of fresh air to get in there and know exactly what needs to get better, what needs to stay the same, and to kind of just build on that strength. And so, yeah, it was a really great off season, feel like we have a really good foundation there.
What do you feel like needs to get better for 2025?
Command. I think command will always be my answer, and just establishing, basically the sinker early. If we can command the sinker early and establish that pitch in the strike zone, everything else is going to play better off that. And then also just knowing when I have room to be out of the zone and when I don't. I think that's something that, is kind of this next step in pitching, but also being a starter, is not wasting pitches, getting guys out when you can get guys out. And kind of realizing that when you're on the mound in the moment can be tough. A lot of veteran pitchers do it really well and make it look easy, but it's not that easy. So I think learning hitters and learning counts better to make myself more efficient in the starting role.
I remember your rookie year when you were like your 0-2 numbers weren't the prettiest.
Terrible.
I think among like qualified pitchers, or maybe like, I think they hit like 340 off you or something. I was like, so you obviously are identifying the problem and understand what needs to happen.
Yeah, for sure. I think it was just like in 21, we kind of like, people just don't know. And I was able to get guys out with the slider. And then it was like 22, I would get to two strikes and like not put guys away. It was just like they kind of sat on slider, or they just sat on off speed, and it was just you kind of come in, you almost get to surprise the league, and then the league like learns you very fast, and it's like, all right, like I need to adjust to that. And so there's things that you have to adjust to every year. I'm sure there'll be something this year that I need to adjust to in the middle of the season. And it's really just trying to make those adjustments as fast as you can, and realizing them as fast as you can.
The at-bat that's seared in my brain from your rookie year is the at bat against Voit. The heater, like keep changing it. You're gonna face a million righties in your. That's just the nature of being a hard throwing lefty. Mm-hmm. Is the sinker, like you just mentioned, like sinker command and what you want to do with it? Is it? We know your stuff's wicked, and we know you can snap breaking balls, but it all does simply come back to the heater for you, especially against righties. As a, it's a riding sinker. Is that a good way to look at it? It's not a sinker like I've seen before.
Yeah, I think that's kind of. That was like a one-off deal.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the guys where I just saw like a hole in the swing up there, and he just kept swinging at it. And I was like, well, I can that to me, like I could throw that pitch every single pitch. Like that pitch doesn't necessarily require like a lot of thought. Like it's just like let's throw it as hard as I can and just like let it carry out of the zone. Mm-hmm. Like that, like it's more like the glove side sinker down and into a righty where I'm like, I need to execute that pitch. So I think that just going back to the movement of that, I think my sinker is more of like a ground ball getter, a depthier sinker now than maybe that sinker to Voit was. But yeah, there's definitely like a shift in the way it moves. Mm-hmm. And when you throw it up, it kind of has the tendency to kind of want to ride more arm side. And when I throw it down, it has the tendency to sink more, I guess you could say. So it just, it kind of depends on where it's at in the zone.
This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
So I'm going to shift gears here a little bit and ask you about now in your big league career. It's less than you would have hoped after signing the extension that you mm-hmm. signed. Now, I'm in the opinion of that great move by you and great move by the Brewers to set your future, to feel comfortable. Now, there's an added competitor in you. It's like, well, I want to live up to what I signed for and what I know I'm capable of doing.
For sure.
Mentally, how do you feel about how it's gone? Obviously, there are injuries, but trying to unleash the competitor that's within you.
Yeah, I think that when we were kind of going through those negotiations, it was never like trying to live up to it. It was just like, this is looking at it, as you said, as this is a good deal for a young pitcher. This is a good deal for the team. And just like being who I am like that. I was never like had this thought of, oh, I need to live up to this contract. Obviously getting hurt the year after signing it sucks. And you don't feel like, yeah, I'm missing out, but also like I still have time to like make up for that. Maybe not necessarily make up for that, but just perform at what I can be. Mm-hmm. And then it's like it's good for both parties. So I want to be the best pitcher I can be. I don't think that necessarily like a contract can determine that. I think it's just whatever. I think that if I do everything that I'm capable of as a pitcher, I think it's good for both.
I remember a line that Pat Murphy said to us about Jackson when he signed his deal. And look, people can always clamor about money that isn't theirs.
Yeah.
But the point was, I think Jackson cares more about winning than he does about being rich. And I
Definitely.
Feel like the same thing applies to you.
Yeah, I think, like, I guess I could probably get in trouble for saying this, but it's baseball, like, the money's cool. But like, what's the difference between like 40 and 20? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. There's just not, I don't see that much of a difference to me. And I would rather play in the big leagues and compete at a high level for as long as I can than like make all of this money. That'll probably backfire.
The money perk. The money's a perk.
Yeah,
you do it because you want to pitch.
A perk, but I love pitching in the big leagues. Like that is it's the dream of mine since I can remember, and I've never thought about doing anything else. So once I was given that opportunity, it was just like, absolutely. Like, how could you say no?
Now, another vulnerable question to follow that up. Playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you had a great second half out of the bullpen. When you came back up, when you went to that role in Nashville, you were pitching well. you know, you were on fumes, I imagine, at the end of the season, given how much you were like, all right, get up, you're up again, and get hot, go, go, go. Then the playoffs obviously didn't go your way. Yeah. How did you have to sit with that all winter? Do you, are you able to flush it quickly, or does it motivate you? How do you view what went wrong in the wild card series?
Yeah, I think that you definitely have a bad taste in your mouth for a long time. But it's like, I've had a bad taste in my mouth for the past, like, well, since 22 spring training.
Since you got hurt.
Since 23 spring training. And so, like, it's hard to, like, dwell so much on, you know, that three-game set when, like, the past 2.5 years before that was just, like, shitty.
Bleep.
Cough button. So it's like, there's, you definitely take, like, the good with the bad. And there's, you never want to, like, perform that way. I think it definitely sucks to, like, come up short so many times in a row. But, like, I in general, I viewed last season as a step in the right direction for myself as, like, a player for the Brewers. Like, we ended healthy, ended back to where I was, if not better. And I think that, like, you can't dwell too much, like, you'll just, like, suffer your whole baseball career if you, like, focus on one game. So you have to kind of look at it all encompassing and like, realize what happened last year.
This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
When you look at this season, this rotation, you're obviously going to be a piece of it in one role or another. Mm-hmm. When you look at the guys you have around you, Nestor, Freddie, yeah, Tobias, and then you can even throw in Savali. You know, Savali, and you can throw in the young kids, you can throw in Henderson, you can throw in Patrick, you can throw in, I mean, there is some stuff around here.
Yeah.
How do you see the Brewers' core of starters, and I'm including you in this, continue to be underrated, and how do you guys wear that as a badge of honor, and what do you want to continue to showcase as a talented group?
Yeah, I think that like, we, since I've been here, like, the starting rotation has always been amazing. And then, like, in the most recent years, like, we lose Burns, we lose Woody to injury, and then like, Freddie steps up, Tobias stepped up in a huge way, and it's just like, it feels like this relentless attack of guys that Jim, Hokey, the minor league pitching coordinators, coaches have, like, all developed just to, like, step into these roles so seamlessly. I mean, to, like, for Tobias to come up last year and do what he did, like, that's just a testament to kind of the organization and, like, the things that we focus on, for, you know, the coordinators and Hokey and the foundation that we've laid here for guys to just, like, step into that role easier. I think, you know, you add Nestor, this guy's, like, I mean, he's Nasty Nestor. He's awesome. I know he's a great pitcher, but, like, just talking to this guy the last week and a half, 2 weeks in the clubhouse, like, I think he's a wonderful addition to the clubhouse. He's a great guy. He's like that show veteran guy that's just does things right and, like, also, like, treats guys with respect. I think that goes such a long way when you have a super young team, as if these, like, older veteran guys can, like, still be, maybe, I don't know if it's, like, discipline, but, like, show you the right way to do things and also be, like, nice about it. Like, I in the past, that you, like, everyone's had a veteran guy that's kind of a jerk, mm-hmm, and it makes it a little bit harder to, like, feel comfortable to do your job. And I think our veteran guys, Freddie, Woody, Nestor, Savali, like, all of these guys are great role models and, like, really make it easy for the young guys to kind of step in and be successful.
That's awesome. I think that's a great way to look at it, the player development, the pitching development that this team is so known for. But to hear it kind of put out, laid out of understanding what Jim and Chris and everybody have done in this org. Now, I'm going to end this. We're going to wrap things up. One thing I've been doing for everybody that does a longer form interview with me is I turn the mics. You can ask me. You can ask me about media. You can ask me about anything. Because we ask you guys a million questions. I know you guys always have questions for us. And maybe you don't get the floor to actually do so. You don't have to answer, but do you have any questions for me?
I'm sure I do. I maybe even unbaseball related, but what is your favorite golf course that you've ever played?
Oh, okay. Now we might need a whole another 30 minutes to go on this, man.
Yeah.
Okay. So biased answers, Aaron Hills. Like that's like the easy. Like, hey, I'm a caddy there. You know.
Yeah.
I will say this: I am very lucky to have been invited to some incredible places thanks to my boss and my mentor, and Brian Anderson.
Yeah.
He's the one who gets the invite, and I'm riding his coattails. So, this past baseball season, I got to play Marion in Philly.
Okay.
And as a golf sicko, as a golf nerd, people who are golf nerds are like, oh my God, like they understand. And playing Marion, it'll host the US Open again in a few years. It hosts Justin Rose won there, Ben Hogan won. I mean, it's as a story. Again, as a sicko. We went to the history room. It was just an amazing day.
Awesome.
Marion's at the top of that list. But memory wise, I did get to play Pebble Beach with my dad a few years ago.
Very cool.
And very sentimental for us.
Yeah.
Did that over an All Star break. Only time I've ever played Pebble Beach, you know, walking around that corner 6, 7, 8 on the ocean.
That's
the more sentimental answer there too. Cool,
like
question.
That.
You're
like
in.
That.
Might need to do a whole other golf side and like just do like everything will be golf related on a pod.
There should be like a not an episode but a series on non-baseball stuff. I think that would connect with the fan more.
I like that. Like no baseball allowed.
No baseball allowed.
Ooh.
No baseball allowed.
You're creating some content for me here, man.
About like hobbies, life. I don't know.
I'm in. I'm
maybe.
All in on this.
It might not work. It could completely flop on the face.
No, I think because you guys know how to answer everything cliched, which is fine.
Yeah.
But if we talk about something like, look, I'm not going to name any names in there, but we could talk about like conspiracy theories with some guys in there. And guys will keep running with that. You said it, not me.
I'll leave that up.
Maybe I'll have to cut that part out.
Maybe.
Ash, thank you for the time.
Yeah,
best of health.
You,
best
Dom.
Of luck this season.
Appreciate
and looking forward to doing it again, maybe.
Thank you. Thank you, Dom.